Church, we have, as Jace has already said, we've got a man of the prophetic in the house this morning. He's a friend of Hillside. Why don't we make him welcome, Pastor Russell Sage.
Good morning. It's good to be here. This is a great church, and I've had a connection to it for a long time. And your crazy pastor is having a time off, I know. I miss him, not sitting there. But, you know, I don't want to go into any areas of pious platitudes. I want to say that we are living in urgent times. Yeah. And urgent times call for urgent men and women to stand up at such a time as this and say, I've come to the kingdom for this moment. And I want to say, I want to bring a message this morning. And, you know, I love this whole essence of Palm Sunday. When I walked through that hallway this morning outside, I was touched. It really was. It was wonderful to see those palms and remind myself and you of where we've been, of who has purchased us and what for. I keep saying to people as I run a Saturday morning prophetic session, and I do a lot of teaching there in terms of where we're at and where we're going and how this whole area of the pressure of the world is making an effect on us. We should be making an effect on it. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? See, the whole thing is we've got to make the effect. Otherwise, something else will. Somebody said to me a long time ago, he said, who are you? Who are you, Russell Sage? And I said, I know who I am, and I described to him who I was. And he said to me this, I never forgot it. He said, unless you know who you are, somebody else will tell you who you're not. Yeah. Yeah. Wherever I go, I ask people, and I ask men, I ask pastors all over the world, who are you? What are you here for? What's your purpose? What's your destiny? And better still, are you fulfilling that? I have a message this morning, and, you know, years ago, there was a political slogan and campaign said it was time. And I say it's more than time. It's high time. I'm going to bring that message to you this morning. But, you know, I'm not here to bring you a wonderful Palm Sunday message as much as I would love to. But I think this is probably the urgency of the heart of God more than it is that I could talk about just Palm Sunday. And, you know, I love the Lord. We're doing some great things. So I start something tonight just for pastors and leaders on for 4 nights called Masterclass. And I'm here to understand something in God that we've got to do a greater job here in this nation. This nation is waiting for the church. And many times we are, the church are waiting for God to move. He's waiting for us to move. And you see, so when I see what's happening in the world, and I see that, you know, we sound like we are a hair's breadth from war between Russia and the United States of America. I'm so glad 6 S-58 cruise missiles dropped into that place in Syria. But it should have done a greater job. You know, the boys that I worked with in Afghanistan years ago, when Bill Clinton sent cruise missiles, I don't know if you know, they're about 18 or 19 feet long, and they have a mind of their own. And the boys are working in the factory building geodesic dome houses for refugees in Afghanistan, and all of a sudden they heard this incredible drone, this incredible noise, and about 150 meters above the ground were 4 cruise missiles running along as they came up to the mountain, went over the top of the mountain, then down, and went across more mountains in front of them, and the noise was deafening. And they said as it got to the mountain, it went up, and so one went that way, 2 went that way. And they can come straight through the window, straight through the front door. That's why they're just so targeted that way. And I think to myself, we're a bunch of cruise missiles, and we don't know where we're going. God wants us to know exactly our purpose, our destiny, what we are to do, when we are to do it, and with whom we are to do it. And this morning, I'm going to make an impartation to that end. You know, in Acts chapter 3... I want to turn with me, Acts chapter 3. It says something incredible. if I can find it. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. And the Bible says that. Said, now Peter and John went up together at the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And the word beautiful in the Greek means good timing. God always has good timing. You were saved, good timing. Right on the dot. Not too late, not too early. You were saved right on good timing. And here it is in the Beautiful, asking alms of them that entered into the temple, because from his mother's womb he was laid daily at the gate. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him, said, look on us. Look on me. Look on both of us. What is it? Who's to say? Peter and John, look on both of us. We've got something that you need. You're asking for something that you think you need, but we've got something greater than what you need. Listen carefully. And I think if we walk with that attitude, he said, look on us. Silver and gold have we none, but listen to the wording. Such as we have, give I unto you. What I've got, I give. And the more that I give is the more that I'll get. What I sow is what I'll reap. And then the job was not only spoken, but it had to be done. I always say this, your faith has got to have feet or you've got no faith. And this morning, here on Palm Sunday, I don't want to shake anybody up, but we're living in urgent times and God is looking for men, he's looking for women, young, middle-aged and old, that he can put his hand on, and such an anointing come and shake this city and shake this nation and shake the nations of the earth. But just I can tell you that they are waiting and they're waiting for the church. Are you here this morning? Is this the church this morning that out of this place can shake this city called Perth? Because in actual fact, in many ways, we have great things happening here, there and everywhere. And it's almost like we've got a conference here and a conference there and a conference here. And I think we don't. It's almost like we're conferenced out. What we need is a bunch of men and women, a bunch of warriors to stand up and say, God has given it to me. I'm going to use it. Yeah. Amen. You see, in this whole essence of this message, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. And it's almost that they're in a godly pride. I walk with it and I'm ready to release it. And what he did was he said, and fastening his eyes on his look on us, and he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something else from them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. And there, see, that was not the end of the story. Look what then happened. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Wow. I want you to know that's what God's looking for. That's God's looking for that instant miraculous movement right now in your life. If you are carrying something and you've been carrying it for a long time and you've been prayed for a long time, I want you to know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I've got, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you're going to rise up and walk today. The church has got to rise up and walk today. Whole essence, it didn't pray for him. Peter didn't pray for him. Pray for the crippled man. It didn't mean Peter was the source of health. He commanded in the name of Jesus. And I love this radical statement. Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs will follow them that believe. When you stop along the track, there's signs following you. Miracles following you. Signs and wonders. And here's a lovely statement. What's under your control stays under your control until you release it. What's under your control stays under your control until you release it. And I believe that God is looking for the releases. He's looking for those this morning that he can place his hand on. And in the same way that they walk, look on us. We don't have what you want. We don't have silver and gold. We've got something greater than that. Such as I've got, such as I have, give I unto you. And this is what I said. And this is what I want to come to this morning. In this message, I believe it's this. I believe it's time. Here in the book of Acts, in chapter 9, verse 32 to 35, it says, I was astounded when I read it, and I've read it many times, and it came to pass, verse 32, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down to all the saints which dwelt at Lydda. That's the city of Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said to him, Jesus Christ makes you whole, Aeneas. Rise, take up your bed and walk. And he arose immediately. And look what happened. Verse 35. And all those people in Lydda and all the people in Sharon that saw him came to Jesus. A lot of them came to Jesus. Two cities, bang, came to Jesus. Oh, would to God that would start to happen. All of Forest Field got saved. Every one of your relatives got saved. Everyone belonged to your family got saved. Why? Because of the miraculous. Oh, I walk in it. I talk in it. I sleep in it. I live in it. I remember as a young pastor, I wasn't an ordained evangelist at that stage, and I'd just become a pastor, and down the road was a Baptist pastor. It was a good friend of mine. We used to pray together. And some of his people rang me at 1:30 in the morning. Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Pastor, to ring you, but it's 1:30 in the morning. I said, yeah, I know. But this is urgent. I said, okay, what's urgent? My mother, who is dreadfully sick, she's on copious amounts of tablets. And she's got horrible scoliosis. She wears a neck brace right down to her waist. Thank you, sir. And she's a chain smoker. She has a heart condition and a lung condition as well. But she's ready to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Would you come? So I said, hang on a minute. So I put the phone out here. I said, Spirit of God, is that you? He said, yes, go. So I said, I'll be there in 20 minutes. I put the phone down and I thought to myself, now why should I go when that Baptist pastor is sleeping? So I rang him. It was now 1:45. Yeah, is that? Yeah. What do you want, Russell? I said, now listen, are you sleeping? Yes. What do you think I'm doing? I said, listen, I said, I was working out of sleep. Now it's because I'm working out of sleep because of your people. Now I'm going to wake you. And I told him the story. He said, you think that's God? I said, it sure is. I'll pick you up in 10 minutes. So I drove down the road, picked him up 10 minutes, and we drove to the lady's house, knocked on the door. It was bitterly cold. It was right in the middle of winter time. And we walked in, great big fire going, and there she is sitting there on a little coffee table with this neck brace on, and she looked forlorn, she looked sick. Anyway, I walked up to her and I said, honey, you've got unforgiveness, you've got to get rid of it. And if any of you got unforgiveness, get rid of it. I said, you got forgiven it, unforgiveness. She said, no, I haven't. I said, yes, you have. She said, oh, really? No, I don't think so. I said, yes, you have. I said, get rid of your unforgiveness, sweetheart. Or I'm walking out the door at 2:30 in the morning. And then she said, yeah, you're right, Russell. I said, okay, just pray a little prayer. So I anointed her in oil. She started to shake. shake, 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 shake. And then she's saying, yes, quick, go, go, get into the kitchen. You and the pastor, get into the kitchen. So we walked into the kitchen. She said, what's going on? So we walked into the kitchen, and about 5 minutes later, she said, okay, you can come back. She'd taken that brace off, all her cigarettes, all her pills, everything in the fire. And there she was standing there, speaking in other tongues, gloriously healed to the glory of God. Now, I tell you, in Jesus' name, two cities came to Jesus because of that one miracle, of that one man. And what I believe this, when we walk with something, we walk, listen, out of your life, there's a person prophesying, speaking, loving, caring, giving, forgiving, generous. Something is coming out of you, the whole Christ, because you have a man living in you. Hello, church. You have a man living in you. You've got to learn how to move with him, talk with him, hear what he has to say. He is the executor of the will. And let me tell you this. The power comes into this room. And unless you get up and turn the light on and turn the switch, there will be no light. The power comes in and it's under your control what you do with it. And you can use it for this and for that and for that and for every instrument here. But it's under your control. I hope you still love me. Hands up those who don't. So I say this. God created Adam and Eve, and the Bible says he formed them. That's the word in the Greek, in the Hebrew. He squeezed them into shape for a purpose. He stops Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road and he said, I've stopped you for this purpose. That's to make you a public, a open display to the rest of the world. In Psalm 139 verse 16, the Bible says, David writing, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. In God's divine plan and sovereign economy, he deals with man on the basis of seasons and times. We are in a new season. God is particularly interested in the fullness of times. In Acts 17:26, the Bible says, he has made of one blood all nations, of all men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries and dwellings. He's prearranged and prescribed those times. You see, God determines the measures of our lives. He decrees our geographical location, ethnicity, origins, language, nationality, all before birth. When times and seasons change, the sound changes. Look, right now, we're starting to wear jumpers and coats. The season has changed. And in a few months' time, the season will change again. And I say this prophetically. I'm going to give you 5 points. Number one, it's time for a new glimpse at an old scripture. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Harvest is monumental, it's mountainous, but the laborers are few. Jesus said, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but I came to save it. And when I think of the thousands that I've seen come to Christ, I've led, I don't know, probably 50 taxi drivers in Singapore to Christ. I've led countless people on aircraft to Christ all over the world. And I keep thinking, I don't want to be part of the few, I want to be part of the many. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And then he says, pray therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Are there laborers here? See, the lost are in a very dangerous place. That's why it's time for that glimpse at a beautiful old scripture. God, are you calling me as a laborer? I said to the Lord once, years ago in the Apostolic Church, when I was still a young man, I'd gotten out of the car and we were walking into Bayswater, Pastor Fred. And I said, God, Jesus, give me a glimpse. Just give me one little centimeter of the pain you have in your heart for the lost. And I started to weep instantly, and I could not stop all day. I wept all day. Ellie kept saying, look, just leave your father alone. He's under a cloud. You young men and young women, don't waste the opportunity. Don't waste your life. Get ready, because God's getting ready for it. He's moving dramatically all over the world. And you know what? It's never too late. It's never too late. And don't ever say that you're too old, because you're not. Hallelujah. See, in God's divine plan, he deals with times and seasons. And here it is, the harvest is plenteous. The word plenteous in the Greek means massive and large, superabundant. It's in great age, nearly overflowing. It's been waiting for so long. And I remember an old man in India standing there, very old man in one crusade, and he said to the brothers, why did you wait so long? Why did I wait so long? I never heard this before. He died that night. I was in Kalimantan. And I was doing a crusade there. I remember saying, you know, you don't know what tomorrow brings. Tonight you can give your life to Jesus and make all the difference. He will enter into your life. The Spirit of God will lead you and guide you and enhance you and teach you. He will equip you. He will give you gifts. You can see great signs and wonders by the person that lives on the inside of you. Learn how to get with him. Hear his voice. Understand. Be led by the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit, Romans 8 says, are navigated by the Spirit. This old man came and he gave his life to Jesus. I said, you don't know what tomorrow brings. He went home that night and died in his sleep and went to Jesus. See, the laborers are few, guys. But the harvest is great. Remember this. Who harvested you? Who harvested you? My neighbor harvested me. I didn't know Jesus. My neighbor harvested me. He saw me. So it's time. And it's time for something else too. And I love this. See, in Luke 1:35, the angel said to Mary, now, here she was holding Jesus, carrying Jesus. And he said, the angel said, and answered, said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And this is what he will do. And he and the power of the Most Highest shall overshadow you. That's what he said to her. The power of the Highest shall overshadow you. When I looked at that word overshadow in the Greek, it means you will be covered with a glistening moment, a cloak, like a cloud of supernatural power out of the ordinary. So what? No, he said preternatural power. Preternatural power is power out of the ordinary. I'd like to see, I thought power was power anyway, but power out of the ordinary? Ah, now we're starting to see something. Power out of the ordinary. Oh, Jesus, that's what we need, Lord. We need everything you've got in this church. And we need it now. Can you say amen? Amen. We need it now, Lord. There are people waiting out there, Lord. There are people waiting down the road. There are people waiting in this nation. There are people waiting in Asia, in Europe, in America, in South America. I have friends who go to Peru all the time. They see great things and come back with phenomenal stories. Here it is, power out of the ordinary course of nature. It's exceptional and abnormal power. And I think of some of the things that I've seen. Abnormal power has come into the meetings. I remember, it was incredible. I remember a Dutch girl I prayed for in the Netherlands in a place called Dokkum. And she'd fallen backwards off a horse and all her back was ricked. She was in pain. She had stretched. I don't know what else she had done. But Jesus healed her in a second. And she was so shocked. She kept bending over and bending over and bending over and straightening up and bending over and running and jumping, and it was gone. And in a second it took place. I can tell you about a lady who got healed of mouth cancer up here in the northern suburbs, and she couldn't believe it. But it took about 4 days for it to manifest in her life, because she hit the deck, totally healed of mouth cancer. And she'd had a cancer's operation some 7 years before, and they'd done plastic surgery on her mouth, and on the inside of the mouth was all brand new, but all the nerves were dead. And while she was laying on the floor, all the nerves came back. And then what happened was, she got up. She couldn't kiss her children for 7 years or her husband because she couldn't feel. And when she was on the floor, she said, "Jesus, you heal me. I'm going to hang on to it." And the devil tried to rob it that night. What did he come and die on a cross for? To give us everything. Did he not? And it's everything that's finished. And it's everything for you. And me. She was laying on the floor, confessing, my God has healed me. I can feel all my nerves. She went home that night, woke up the next morning worse. And she kept saying, "No, I got healed. I'm healed by the stripes of the Lamb. By His blood, I am healed. By His blood, I am healed. I was healed on Sunday morning. I'm healed." She had to go to a doctor and he said, "Honey, the cancer's come back now worse. We're going to have to take part of your jaw right away. Otherwise, it's going to kill you in a few months." She said, "No, I'm healed." And she woke up on Tuesday morning. She was bedridden. Wednesday morning, she was almost in a comatose place. And she kept saying, "No, I'm healed. By His stripes, I'm healed. By His stripes, I'm healed. I'm not going to let go what I got on Sunday morning. I'm not letting it go. I'm not letting circumstances rob me or the devil to rob me any longer. I'm going to hang on to what I've been given. God gave it to me. Such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Thursday morning, she was gone. Friday morning, she was gone. Saturday morning, they thought she was going to die. But she kept saying this, "I'm going to church on Sunday. I don't care if you have to carry me. I'm going." Well, they didn't have to carry her because she woke up very early Sunday morning. Got out of bed. Ran into the kitchen. Made a cup of tea. Ran into the bathroom and went, "My Jesus, it's gone. All the swelling's gone. All the pain's gone." Jesus had healed her with supernatural, preternatural power. I got a feeling Jesus wants it in this church. Are you ready for it? Are you ready to handle it? See, it's time. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time. No, you didn't do it properly. Say, it's time. You got to clap your hands too. It's time. Okay, quickly, quickly, moving on. Because we're running out of time. What time do I got to finish? Okay, quickly. In the Welsh revival. Oh, no, I'll tell you a couple more stories, but I can't. Anyway, one night just before the Welsh revival happened, actually about 3 months before, a 26-year-old man was praying on his bed. In a little town in Wales in 1904, bang, he was taken up into heaven. His brother said, sleeping next to him, the shaking was so strong. He said, I got out of bed and I tried to hold him down and I couldn't. But I wasn't there. All of a sudden it was gone. I'd gone limp and I was there. From 1 o'clock in the morning, I was taken up into divine fellowship for 4 long hours. At 5 o'clock, he let me go back and I slept from 9 o'clock. And then at 12 o'clock, he took me up again for 3 hours. And it happened one night, two night, three night, four night, five night, six night, 7 nights. 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months. It went for 3 months every night nonstop. And the Welsh revival took place. I don't know about you. It's time for a visitation. It's time we saw Jesus. Like they did, riding on a donkey that day. And every time he passed by, they must have gone, "Whoo, did you feel that?" See, it's time, it's the next time, the number three thing, it's time for, to see the fourth man in the furnace. Get your eyes off the flames, get your eyes on him, get your eyes off Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all of those things in Facebook. So tank back. You have a look at young people wherever they are. And they can be a girl and boy having a little fellowship together. But they're talking at this and they're looking at this. How about taking that down, looking at Jesus? How about reading what the Word says? How about absorbing the Word? How about listening to the Word when you go to McDonald's? But don't go to McDonald's, it's lousy food. And you see, it's time to see the fourth man in the furnace. Listen, in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar threw three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and a cappuccino, into the fiery furnace. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and he leapt to his feet and spoke and said to his counselors, hey, didn't we throw in three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they said, true, O king. Then he answered and said, look, I see four men in there. And what I see, four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. No hurt. Get your eyes on Jesus. But in the midst of the flames have no power. Though the enemy is turning up the heat, and a lot of leaders in this nation and this city are under attack. A lot. Why? God is moving us to a new level of mountain-moving faith. We're going to see faith like you have never, ever seen. And mostly, I'm telling you this, it ain't going to come from men. It's going to come from women. And all the girls said, yes. You're very quiet, girls, I can tell you. And the fourth thing we're going to see, for it's time for the overcomer. It's time for the overcomer. What does the Bible say in 1 John 5:4? Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Yeah. Revelation 2:7 says, to him that overcomes, to him, you see, you can't be an overcomer until you've got something to overcome. And when he takes you through, when he takes you through the valley, though I walk through the valley. Oh, you mean a walking? Yeah, through the valley. I am not staying. Through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they'll comfort me. Thank you very much. But I'm not staying. I'm walking through. So if you're walking through something, guess what? You're walking through. You're not going to stay there. Get it? You're not going. You're not going to stay there. And then this overcoming power, Haggai 2, verse 6 and 9 says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land and all nations." How many nations? All. "And the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house." Here it goes, here it goes, here it comes. "I'll fill this house with glory," said the Lord. Hallelujah. What does that look like? Oh, that looks like Hillside Church. Maybe not. I think that looks like Hillside Church. That's right. Okay, what was that looking like? What does a glorious church look like? I got a few ideas. It was in the cloud by day and the pillar by night for 40 long years. Whew. It was in the cloud of Solomon's temple on the opening day when the rivers ran red. 245,000 sheep were slaughtered. It was in the cloud in Mount Sinai, the shaking when Moses asked God to show him his glory. I love that Moses fella. "Show me your glory." Well, son, okay, but I'm going to have to shove you in the cleft of a rock first. And while you're in that rock, you better get ready because you can't see my front. You can't even see the side. You can only see your prophetic future as my train goes past. See, that's the only thing you and I can see. We can only see our prophetic future. It was in the burning lamp that passed by the two parts of the sacrifice while Abraham was in a deep sleep. It was in the stable where the Son of God was born. It was on the Mount of Transfiguration when Elijah and Moses met Jesus. Peter, James and John were up there and they were dumbstruck. But Jesus meets with Elijah and Moses. The glory of God was there. It was in the tongue of fire on the day of Pentecost. It was there on the wedding day at Cana of Galilee. And I want you to know it was at Calvary's cross. Number five. It's time for a new kind of warfare. It's called intimacy. What do you say in Philippians 3? "I count all things but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I count all things but loss." What for? "That I might know him intimately." Because if I know him, I'll know the power of his resurrection. Are you serious? Yeah. Do you know what it's like when a dead body comes alive? You ever thought of how a dead body comes alive? You know, in Argentina, in South America and different parts of the world, dead bodies coming alive regularly. In China, dead bodies coming alive is like getting a cold healed. We're in for some treats. We're in for some things that are going to astound us. But it's time. And that comes out of intimacy. Why didn't he say, "As the deer pants for the water, brook, so thirst pants my heart after you, O Lord." I'm thirsting for the living God. I want to get in his presence. I want to hear his voice. I just don't want to read sentences. I want to read the word, because faith comes out of the word. I want to know that he is the word, but I am the word on the earth. Because I walk in it, I sleep in it, I drink in it, I eat in it, I do everything in it, because there's somebody living in me. And lastly, it's time for a new breed of man and woman with a reverse kind of spirit, a different kind of spirit. See, Joseph was a different, was a different factor of man. He was a new generation of radical man on the earth. Joseph was the factor of the opposites. He was the law of the opposites. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all men with an opposite spirit. Elijah and Elisha were prophets with an opposite spirit. John the Baptist was an incredible man and force depicting the law of the opposites. Esther, the queen, said her nation, about a nation, you know what, there's something's got to be done. If I die, I die. David said, when he looked at Goliath, and he said, isn't there a cause? Isn't there a reason? Isn't there, haven't I come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Haven't I, isn't there a cause? Isn't there a reason for me to stand up right now and take this man on? You know, for 40 days, Goliath had railed on Israel and railed on Israel and railed on Israel, and nobody did anything. They were frightened, except this little ruddy, fiery face, curly-haired, muscled little sheep herder called David. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. See, Paul was a dynamic apostle. Jesus was of the law of the opposites. And in Deuteronomy 28, verse 12, the Bible says, I'll open up unto you my good treasure. Oh, wow, Lord, you're going to open up your treasure box unto me. The heavens to give rain into your lands in his season, and to bless the work of your hands. You shall lend unto many nations, and you will not borrow. Why, it's time. And it's time for musicians to come. And you know what? God is looking for those this morning. Oh, but I'm a housewife. No, you're not. You're more than that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You mean I've only got one musician left? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Auntie Kay, just take your time. Just relax. Thank you, Jesus. How are you? Good to see you. Just nice and quiet. Who are you this morning? And why are you here this morning on Palm Sunday? You know, whenever that is, when I get down to the end of the track, I want to be able to look back and say, you know, I fulfilled my call. I finished the work. That's what Paul said. He said, I've done the work. I've finished. I've fought a good fight. And you know what? I didn't miss a thing. And when you're young, you don't think you're going to miss. But some of you are here this morning, don't you dare think you've missed. You haven't. None of us miss. It's just a matter of time. But down the end of the track, I want to know that my wife Ellie and myself have done it. And we've done exactly what he wanted. And could there have been more? Yes, of course, but you can only walk in the light that you have at the moment that you've got it. But I never forgot. While the the power was running into me, and it was under my control. If I dismissed it, I could never use it. But if I turned it, if I turned that switch on, because under my control, I would see things that I'd never seen, hear things that I'd never heard, do things that I'd never done, and go to places that I'd never been. Never imagined. But I remember when I was a kid, I used to stand up and look at the sun and the moon and the stars at night and the daytime and wonder, who put that there? And why am I here under that? It's not late. It's still early. And if there's somebody here this morning, you don't know what tomorrow brings. And I've asked Hindus and Muslims and Buddhists all over the world, what would happen if you died? Where would you go, heaven or hell? Well, it's like this. You know, if you've done good things, you'll be fine. But if you've done bad things, then, oh, you'll go down. That's all they know. And in a sense, that's truth. But Jesus said, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I always wanted the free gift. And in a heart, in all our hearts, we do. Because there's one thing he does. He always knocks on the door. But you've got to turn the switch on or grab that handle and open that door. So this is what I want you to do. If you don't know Jesus, like I led that old man in Kalimantan that night to Christ at 11:30 at night, and he surrendered in tears, and he went home rejoicing, went to sleep and died and went to heaven. What a story. See, my God has put us on this earth for a reason. And I just want to ask a question. Have you surrendered your life to Him? Will you just bow your head just for a second quickly? Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. He shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and marvelous things. But he didn't come to judge the earth, he came to save it. But if you are not saved and you have never surrendered to Jesus and called him your Lord and Savior, this morning you can. And if your heart is beating and there's someone on the inside knocking on your door saying, come on, open this door. It's you. You know, my friend recently had his foot taken off because cancer was in the ball of his foot. And he went to a meeting recently because after they took the foot off, they thought he was okay. Then the cancer returned to one of the adrenal glands. They took that off. But then it returned to the back of his neck. And there's so much uncertainty in that man. I kept pointing him back to what he got a couple of months ago. A young prophet stood up and said, as he was sitting in that meeting and he was planning his funeral, a young prophet stood up and said, there's a man here, you're planning your funeral. Stop it. God has not given you a sentence. And by the way, this guy is a judge. God has not given you a sentence of death, but a sentence of life. I said, you come back to that message. And don't you dare lose that message. And there have been times out in the back blocks of nowhere when I couldn't do a thing. I had to count and I had to rely on what he said to me in the beginning. I remember once in Hungary, I was having an unbelievable asthma attack. And I sent everybody to a coffee shop and I said, leave me here on a train station and I'm going to pray. And I reminded God what the blood had done in my life and why it saved me. And I want you to know I got healed right on that railway station. I can tell you many, many more stories like that. But this morning, if you don't know Jesus, oh, he so desperately wants to know you. And I can tell you, your life will turn right around. And if that's you, and he said, unless you're born from on high, the loving, special, precious Holy Spirit come live in your heart, I'll tell you what, you will never know yourself. But if that's you, would you just slip your hand up while no one looks around and say, Russell, I need Jesus in my heart and in my life. Any one of you? Just slip your hand up and say, yes, that's me. Would you lead us in the chorus, please, okay? Now, this is for you. Remember, I said it's time for laborers. I said it's time for a greater sense of intimacy. I said it's greater. It's now time for an overshadowing. What with? Preternatural power. Power out of the ordinary. That's an impartable process. And I want to pray for that. I want to pray this morning for you. You've had your eyes on the wrong thing. Many times you've had your eyes on the fire instead of the fourth man in the fire. God's going to straighten out your eyes. And this morning, it's time for you. What do you say, silver and gold have I none, but what I carry, such as I have, I'm going to give you. If you're ready for that, now I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to cover you in oil, mess up your hairstyle, but see Jesus do something incredible. If you're ready, guys, come out the front quick.